The House Judiciary Committee takes up the impeachment inquiry. World leaders leave a rocky NATO summit.
The conference now being over, it's definitely time to reflect on some of those broader themes and the broader relationships that we saw play out on the world stage.
Plus, why some songbirds are getting smaller. It's Wednesday, December 4th. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Hospital groups are suing the Trump administration over a rule that would force them to disclose the secret rates they negotiate with insurance companies for services including drugs, supplies, and care by doctors. The plaintiffs, including the American Hospital Association, say the disclosure would constitute compelled speech in violation of the First Amendment. They also say complying with the rule will put an enormous burden on hospitals. The industry is expected to face millions of dollars in estimated compliance costs under the rule. European budget carrier Ryanair says it's cutting jobs and closing two of its bases due to delays in getting Boeing's 737 MAX jets back in the air. The carrier is warning that traffic growth will slow in the next year because of those delays. Ryanair is one of Boeing's biggest customers for the 737 MAX jets, which have been grounded since March following two fatal crashes. Sales of Campbell's namesake product, soup, fell in the U.S. in the most recent quarter. The decline wiped out gains in the company's snack division. Campbell said retailers put off shipments of Thanksgiving soups until the current quarter due to the holiday falling later this year. But the company also lost shelf space for some of its soups after years of sales declines. Despite the drop in soup sales, Campbell gained market share for the first time since 2017. The impeachment inquiry into President Trump moved into its next phase today as the House Judiciary Committee held its first public hearing. The committee will determine the standards for impeachment and whether the president's actions meet the threshold for removing him from office. To do that, lawmakers questioned four law professors, three chosen by Democrats and one chosen by Republicans on the committee, to get their legal expertise. Stanford University law professor Pamela Karlan, a Democrat pick, responded sharply to criticism from Georgia Representative Doug Collins, the top Republican on the panel.
I read transcripts of every one of the witnesses who appeared in the live hearing because I would not speak about these things without reviewing the facts. So I'm insulted by the suggestion that as a law professor, I don't care about those facts. But everything I read on those occasions tells me that when President Trump invited, indeed demanded foreign involvement in our upcoming election, he struck at the very heart of what makes this a republic to which we pledge allegiance. That demand, as Professor Feldman just explained, constituted an abuse of power.
Joining me now with more on today's hearing is Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, can you recap for us what we heard during today's proceedings?
So the committee is working on deciding whether or not President Trump's actions towards Ukraine, but maybe other actions, are grounds for impeachment. And what we heard today was from four witnesses, all lawyers at law schools, experts in the Constitution, three called by Democrats, one called by Republicans. Three of the witnesses called by Democrats felt there were grounds to impeach the president. The fourth witness made a point that was somewhat different from the Republican emphasis. What he said is, you are going too fast. You have not gathered the evidence yet that impeachments, in his words, require a certain period of saturation and maturation to allow the public to catch up. And if you don't allow this process to play itself out, if you don't allow President Trump to go through the courts to fight over what he is required to provide to Congress, that is an abuse of power, and it's your abuse of power.
Siobhan, what can you tell us about the timeline going forward? What happens after this hearing?
So after this hearing, we expect there to be at least one more hearing next week when we expect someone from the House Intelligence Committee to present the Democrats' argument or facts before the House Judiciary Committee. The hearing today is focused on the grounds for impeachment? What are high crimes and misdemeanors? And does President Trump's conduct fit within that box? Next week, we would be looking at the facts. What are the facts that you would try to fit into the high crimes and misdemeanors category? Then beyond that, the timing is somewhat unclear. The most likely scenario is that House Democrats spend the entire third week of December debating articles of impeachment after the House Judiciary Committee votes them out of committee, and there could be a vote by the end of the third week. We don't know if that would occur on Friday, December 20th, or if it could spill into the weekend.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes joining me from Washington. Siobhan, thank you so much.
Good to be here.
World leaders have been meeting in London for the past few days for the NATO summit, which also marked the organization's 70th anniversary. But instead of cementing the alliance, there was a lot of drama. First, there was tense back and forth between President Trump and French President Emmanuel Macron. And then a video emerged, taken during a reception at Buckingham Palace on Tuesday night, that captured Macron with UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who appeared to make a quip about why Trump was late to the reception. Trump then called Trudeau two-faced. Joining me now with more on the incident is Wall Street Journal reporter Vivian Salama. Vivian, taking this incident as an example, are we seeing a shift in dynamics at NATO, or does this play into more ideas about identity politics? We know this is attracting big world leaders, big personas in some cases. What's your analysis of that?
So one of the things that I've been hearing from officials, both foreign and domestic, that I've spoken to just since that video was revealed was that this is par for the course now. NATO leaders, world leaders in general, have a particular view of President Trump that tends to, on the one hand, obviously respect him because he is the leader of the United States and everybody sort of needs the United States for various reasons. But on the other hand, not really taking him so seriously because of the fact that he goes into these meetings sort of lashing out at the concept of multilateralism, at the concept of sort of any kind of group event that he feels America has done more for than any other country. He came into NATO swinging, as he has done in previous years, saying that other countries like Germany and Canada and others have not paid their fair share. There is a baseline sort of 2% GDP threshold for countries that are in NATO to pay to the military alliance, and he always accuses others of not doing so. And so, you know, that was sort of the standard. But seeing it on video obviously was a lot of personality politics at play as well. Justin Trudeau is on the brink of finalizing a trade deal with the United States, and they were actually asked about that during their bilateral meeting. In the lead up to that, obviously, Justin Trudeau was talking to President Trump and trying to deal with President Trump often. It was not an easy process. The Americans will tell you that the Canadians were very tough on it. But at the end of the day, they got it. And we're just waiting for Congress to ratify that agreement at this point. The ball's in our Congress's court, but the Canadians and the Mexicans have already gone ahead with it. And so Justin Trudeau, in a way, has very little to lose. He just won an election back in Canada. And so there is a little bit of that as well. But President Trump is not someone who also likes to be criticized. In fact, one of the most interesting things about this video is that for years now, since President Trump came out on the political stage, he's been saying that world leaders are laughing at his predecessors because of the fact that America was basically the joke of the world and that they weren't taken seriously. And so for this video to come out and for the president to see that other world leaders were actually laughing presumably at him was a very interesting play to what he's been saying. And so President Trump did react on Wednesday. He was asked about the video and he called Justin Trudeau two-faced. There was actually a hot mic situation a little bit later in the day on Wednesday where we actually heard President Trump sort of patting himself on the back and reveling in what a great insult it was to call Justin Trudeau two-faced. And so there's a lot of hot mics in this NATO conference, as it were. But the conference now being over, it's definitely time to reflect on some of those broader themes and the broader relationships that we saw play out on the world stage.
And picking up on that point, we also saw ahead of the meeting this week, French President Emmanuel Macron in an interview with The Economist criticizing NATO. So what does that say overall about the alliance and the way world leaders are seeing it and its role?
He did, and he also doubled down on it when asked about it during the NATO summit while he was sitting next to President Trump, and he insists that his comments were very legitimate, and he holds his European counterparts accountable for some of the imperfections of the alliance. So this was the 70th anniversary of NATO. And, it's important to recognize in foreign policy and national security that some of the issues and the realities in the world that may have pertained 70 years ago have obviously evolved over time. And a lot of these organizations are not as good about evolving as quickly as the changes in the world. And so that was something that he was pointing out in his comments. He was also talking a lot about funding and other issues as well, different cooperation. The world is changing, at least from my vantage point, it seems to be changing rather quickly in the last couple of years. And this happens periodically. And for NATO to confront the challenges that we are facing in the world today, where NATO was essentially supposed to be a military alliance to confront the rise of Russian aggression and Russian, back when it was still the Soviet Union. You don't even have the Soviet Union anymore, but you still do have the problem of countering Russian aggression across Europe. We've seen it in Eastern Ukraine. We've seen it elsewhere in the world. Cyber issues are a part of that, too. And that's something that, NATO leaders are grappling with as far as how to confront that. And it's not just a border war anymore. It's literally a virtual war sometimes. And so all of these things are challenges that NATO faces. And it's something that world leaders struggle to find agreement with, especially when at a time like now, you have such drastically different ideological views of the world, then it tends to be a little bit harder to get an alliance like this on the same page and really move forward with any real action.
Certainly a lot of new realities to confront. Wall Street Journal reporter Vivian Salama joining me from Washington. Thank you so much, Vivian.
Thank you so much.
And finally, you may not have noticed, but small North American songbirds are getting smaller. A new study has found that over the past 40 years, the birds' bodies shrank, but their wings grew longer. The findings were based on measurements of more than 70,000 birds across 52 different species, collected by the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago. Our science writer Robert Lee Hotz has more on the findings.
These are not changes that a normal person would be able to notice. No bird watcher in Central Park with their binoculars is going to pick up on this. But what it shows is that, as biologists and ecologists have long suspected, there is a relationship between temperature and body size that they know. And we're now seeing it play out as temperatures rise in the modern world.
The findings also have implications for other species.
What stands out about this kind of work is this is a measurement of things that have occurred. This is a natural record of change in the natural world that has already happened. And it's neither good nor bad. What it's telling us is that the world is changing and that animal species, in this instance birds, are responding by changing to adapt. We should do the same.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Robert Lee Hotz. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.